Blog Talk Radio.
Please be alive. Back again with Mama Dada Astrology here on the Blog Talk Radio channel for My Astrology Coach. We are successful Mercury retrograde edition. astrology could be fun. But he opened up our eyes to take a look at the name of a few of the most, you know, funny characters that we've known in our history, and connecting, linking certain aspects of astrological convictions with what really made not only the kind of the brand of humor, with enough slapstick kind of humor as more dry, sarcastic humor. That was something. Samuel Reynolds, I earlier in the show, did a lecture return, or the Jupiter return that we experience, whether we consciously are that we astrologically are redoing the show from this past Wednesday. It's an honor and a pleasure. I'd redo it a countless number of times if it became necessary. But I just think it's hilarious that it's occurring in the meat, the heart of this Mercury retrograde. Here we are at May 30th. It's not going to station direct here until the 11th, so we still have the better part of a week and a half left for the real heat of it, but then we still aren't, once again, out of the woods yet until we're out of the shadow zone or shadow period, which ends June the 27th. So I just wanted to put those dates back out there for y'all. If you're having a difficult time for whatever reason during this period of time, you can go back and listen to the show from 2 weeks ago. I never intended or knew that I would be doing a show on this date, because the date of this past Wednesday was supposed to be taken care of the week going forward, which I'm about to redo for you now. But here we are exactly 2 weeks later from the inaugural show. You'll see it's a special broadcast welcoming you to the wonderful world of Mama Dada Astrology here on the My Astrology Coach Radio Network. And, I mean, well, you got to go back and listen to that for just countless reasons. I listened to it again today, and I mean, at certain points, I think I have an out-of-body experience, and I don't realize I'm listening to myself because the information is so powerful and impactful. I'll touch on the new moon in Taurus that I spoke on at that time here in a second, but we're redoing the broadcast from Wednesday. And it was just so good, y'all. So let me just get into it. How about that? Oh, I got to shout out God, Creator, ancestors, my higher self, reflections of myself and others. I see the God in you. And Ashe and Amun Ra to all those in the line of great divine. May it be a blessed remainder of this hour, about 45 minutes. Let's see. I'm going to go out of order. Wednesday, I touched on the Sun Neptune square first and then got into the full moon in Sagittarius, but I got to jump into it, y'all, because to the broadcast from 2 weeks ago, I was speaking on the new moon in Taurus, and I said, the new moon in Taurus occurred on the same date, depending on your time zone, as the Mercury retrograde began, not the shadow period of the Mercury retrograde that occurred back on the 4th, but on the 18th when it turned retrograde, stationed retrograde. It was also the day of a new moon in Taurus. Okay, I'm just looking at my phone, making sure I'm still here with you guys. And so I said at that time, go back and listen to it. That's the power of having these broadcast archives, because you can mark our words. You can go back and you can listen and see, wow, that actually manifested here weeks later. As I was listening, I noticed that mentioned, you know, since it was happening so close to the Mercury retrograde, taking the time out to initiate, it sounded real weird to kind of advise that we initiate, you know, these all new efforts and things that are very typical of new moon energy. Because it was happening at the time of a Mercury retrograde, stationing retrograde. So I said, why don't we instead utilize some of this retrograde energy, this energy that's calling us to reevaluate, this energy that's calling us and causing us to rethink things, this same energy that's causing us to review Gemini-related things, since Mercury is retrograding in Gemini, then utilize that when we're initiating these new moon efforts or intention. You got to go back and listen to it. I don't remember all what I said, even though I just listened to it again here not that long ago. But the point is that what I did say is that Taurus being, you know, ruled by Venus and representing our values, and I was saying to take another look at how you value yourself. Take another look at your self-worth, what you really feel, what you really know your worth and your value is. Take another look at that and set some intentions forward that honor that. And here we are 2 weeks later on the brink. I'm about to tell you about this full moon in Sagittarius. The way these moon cycles go, you have a full moon. That's when the moon looks all white in the sky. It's fully illuminating and reflecting the light of the sun. There's nothing blocking that reflection. Okay? And then you have the new moon when it's completely dark, completely blocked out, and or the dark moon that you may hear it referred to as. And these are pivotal times in the month, in the year, where we're able to work in accordance with these energies that are going to be there, whether we want to acknowledge them or not, whether we want to believe that they carry any particular energy whatsoever at all or not. It is happening, and here Mama Dada Astrology is, you know, documenting it and getting you prepared a week in advance, a week ahead of everyone else, not only who has no awareness of these occurrences or happenings at all, but then, you know, you're getting the information well ahead, so you can prepare, be aware, be intentional, be powerful, be productive. And I we're going to get more into the full moon in Sagittarius right now. I just wanted to mention that because if you have not caught the inaugural episode, the special broadcast welcoming you home to your week ahead with Mama Dada Astrology, you've got to check that out. Just click the link in Blog Talk Radio /Ampu Astrology. For the My Astrology Coach Radio Network, and yeah, click on that and check it out. And then, you know, here you are 2 weeks later, you can listen to it and see, you know, what has even manifested in your own life, because even if you weren't aware of it, it was happening and it is happening. So let's jump in. Full moon in Sagittarius is happening on Tuesday coming up, the 2nd. It is a full moon. Whenever there is a full moon and the full light of the moon, of the sun, is being reflected via the moon, then that means you're dealing with an opposition as opposed to the new moon in Taurus. When I was speaking here a couple weeks ago, that is a conjunction. That is when the sun and the moon are right on top of each other or sharing the exact same area of space at the same time. At this particular juncture with the full moon in Sag coming up, you've got the sun in Gemini. It is still Gemini season. Happy birthday to all the Geminis who will be celebrating here in the week that we're discussing, which is the 31st. Tomorrow's the 31st of May through Sunday through Saturday, the 31st through the 6th of June. Happy birthday. And I hope this is a powerful, positive full moon for you. That's my gift to you as a prayer. And you're welcome. Neptune, I don't want to get into that just yet. I've got it out of order, but I was going to mention some aspects that are being made to this full moon, but let me just say, this is occurring at 11 degrees of Sagittarius. That's where the moon's going to be. I said the sun is going to be in Gemini. The moon, it is in Gemini. At that time, the moon will also be in Sagittarius, which is directly opposite Gemini on the astrological wheel. Every sign has an opposing or an opposite sign. And the sun in Gemini will be opposing or directly opposite the moon in Sagittarius. This is occurring at 11 degrees. The sun will be at 11 degrees Gemini, the moon at 11 degrees Sagittarius. That is the angle, the opposing angle that makes this a full moon. People with sun, your natal sun in your astrological birth chart, or your natal moon, or your natal ascendant around the 11-degree mark of Sagittarius are going to feel this the most. If you don't know your time of birth, you won't know these particular degrees. If you do know your time of birth, you can go online to astro.com and enter your birth information, and then you will be able to verify along with me, yes, my sun is at 12 degrees or 13 degrees, so I'm probably really going to feel this. Or, you know, it's at 10 degrees. I probably need to really pay attention to this one. That's why I'm mentioning that, just for the sake of those who do have an awareness of their birth data and their astrological information. This is referred to as a strawberry moon. Full moons have been named, and particularly in North America, the peak harvesting season for strawberries is in June, and that gives that its name. In other cultures, it has also been named the hot moon for the beginning of the summer heat. So that's an aside. Full moons are culmination points. when we were talking about 2 weeks ago at the new moon, and you know how we were valuing ourselves and what we knew that we're worth, and rethinking and reconsidering that. This full moon is a culmination point. It shines a light. It's an exposing moon. It shines a light on areas either of 2 weeks ago that we were initiating and intending and releasing it, and we're not releasing but setting forth. It's shining a light on that. You know, where are we? It can be looked at as a checkup. Where are we from that point? Or if it was a short-term goal, we would look back a couple of weeks. If it was a longer-term goal, we would look back 6 months at the new moon in Sagittarius, and we would check on those long-term goals and see where we are with that. It's shining a light and exposing these initiatives and intentions that we had, whether consciously or not, that we were bursting forth and putting forth and setting forth during these pivotal times. That's why knowing things in advance and having awareness in advance is so powerful, because you can be consciously competent at that point. And you can really begin to work with these energies in your favor and in the favor of others. Astrology is not a selfish modality. It's a healing modality. It's for all. Astrology is for all. It doesn't discriminate, no restrictions on where you can go with it. Sagittarius. I have a Sagittarius sun sign. I have heavy influence in Sagittarius in my chart. So I'm pretty excited about this moon, full moon. It said the moon in Sagittarius that day is actually going to meet up in some good aspects with Jupiter and Uranus. Early on on the 3rd, this occurring, the full moon is occurring on the 2nd. So I will say this. Sorry, you guys, but I put the thing about Neptune first and was going to speak on it, and I skipped it, and I see now why I put it first. If you go back with me, I'll pick up where I left off when you heard me saying Neptune earlier. Neptune being at 9 degrees Pisces, which is really close to 11 degrees Pisces, it'll be forming at a nearly, if it's within 2 degrees like that, you can pretty much say it's exact, but an exact square with this full moon. And so that's pivotal, because that's going to impact the energy of the full moon. Neptune squaring anything in Sag that you may have, any planets or points, it means, you know, kind of limitless ideals, no boundaries. If you're Sagittarius is a sign of adventure. It's a sign of long distance travel. It's the sign of higher learning. It's the sign of spirituality by way of like religion or philosophy. So you might be setting off on an adventure, but when you're got a square to Neptune, it demands that you have careful consideration, you know, along with it. So whether you want to have careful consideration of these big dreams and limitless ideals and the no boundaries that kind of, you know, the Jupiterian Sagittarius energy brings, your life will either cause you to be a bit more cautious around this time, you know, or you can choose to do so, and it'll be to your benefit to do that. With Gemini, Mercury still being retrograde in Gemini, and Mercury is aspecting this full moon as well. Let me take a quick look, because I want to see exactly what that is. Mercury is aspecting this full moon as well by way of being opposite to it. Yeah, right now we've got Sun, Mars, and Mercury opposing the moon. Mars and Mercury are conjunct the Sun right now. So that's been powerful. Mars and the Sun together, you know, these big, masculine, powerful, driven planets with Mercury opposing this, you know, adventurous, spiritual, you know, foreign, long distance travel moon. So, with that, you still may be dealing with the energies of tempers flaring, angry words being exchanged, especially with people who are not dealing with Mercury retrograde very well, those who are manifesting these lower vibrations of the Gemini frequency, the chattiness, that's gossip, you know, and a childishness, things of that nature. Gemini on the lower expression. Tempers definitely could be flaring around this time of the full moon. Angry words being exchanged, you know, road rage and traffic being impacted. Being aware of these aspects and using your knowledge to maintain a steady and calm, you know, persona if things are in turmoil will keep you in good standing. So now up until the 2nd here on Tuesday, just take care to slow down and consider. I'm a Sun Sagittarius to the fullest, and I'm all about expansion and growth and development and advancement and being boundless and limitless. So maybe I have Gemini rising, so I'm feeling all of these energies here lately. It could be overwhelming, but I'm taking my own advice that I'm giving you, and I am slowing down my thoughts consciously, slowing down my breathing consciously, and not allowing the Sagittarius energy or the expansive energy to run away with me, or that Gemini frequency on the lower end, you know, the chattiness. I'm watching my words, not because I'm concerned about saying the wrong thing or anything of that nature, but anytime, it's just common sense that the more words you speak, the more you're liable to make a mistake, especially if you're dealing with, you know, these lower manifestations, not even in yourself, but in the people around you. Everything that's said doesn't require a response if you're dealing with someone who's manifesting these lower expressions of Gemini or Sagittarius. So, since it's happening in Gemini and that rules transportation and all that, I'm speaking on that this because even though we're not talking about Mercury retrograde right now, once again, you don't isolate one aspect in astrology. I don't care if you're talking about your natal chart or a week worth of astrological transits and events. You have to look at it all in its larger context. So I'm adding these little notations in so you can take these into consideration as well. I won't, even though the different segments of the show highlight different transits, I don't want to ever isolate one as if they operate independently of any other transit that's going to occur or has occurred. Allow time when you're traveling. You know, plan ahead. We're still in a Mercury retrograde. If you're talking about anything communications wise, just like this radio show, broadcasting, you know, until we're out of the shadow period, I may have to redo a show a time or two. It's okay. Knowing about it in advance that this is what is occurring, it gives you the opportunity to take the frustration out, take the aggravation out. Hey, I already knew this was a possibility. And, hey, it happened, so I was prepared for it. That is one of the blessings of knowing about what's happening in advance. Yeah, and I mentioned the aspects when I had remembered that I skipped what I really wanted to touch on with Neptune squaring this full moon. I was mentioning that Jupiter and Uranus were coming into play actually by way of the trine. There's a trine to Jupiter the night of the 2nd on Tuesday, and early on the 3rd Wednesday morning, there is a trine to Uranus. So whatever you've been experiencing with this full moon energy, you know, exposing things, revealing things, shining a light on things that maybe, you know, from the new moon in Taurus, and maybe when you reevaluate or you didn't do it and you found out how not having, we're getting to see, the light is being shown on how we really, you know, like I said, if it's the shorter term influence of the last new moon in Taurus, which is just 2 weeks ago for short term goals and things like that, we really got to see what we really do think about what we're worth and how we really do feel and value ourselves as worthy or not. What do we really feel that we're worth? And this period of time with the full moon in Sagittarius is shining the light on that on the short term. From 6 months ago, the new moon in Sagittarius is shining a light on that long term, how we really feel about that. And so it's been powerful for me personally, just because it's that checkup. That's what I'm talking about. 6 months later from the new moon in Sag and 2 weeks down the line from this new moon in Taurus, it's a checkup. How did we do? How well did our intentions go? Did we set intentions? And how is that working out for you, for us? So I think that's about all I have. What I was mentioning about Jupiter and Uranus, with it being a trine, a harmonizing, unfavorable aspect, I don't care how ugly things have been. By the time this full moon, you know, culminates on the 2nd, we give you the exact time. I like to do that because, just for the sake of accuracy, if you are doing these intentional things at a full moon, it's the time of releasing. So what I was mentioning this past Wednesday that didn't get to be heard was just, oh, yes. You could possibly write down some things that, since this is a time, the new moon is a time of setting new intentions, new initiatives, and things like that, with the full moon being about releasing and letting go. And the fact that it's in Sagittarius, and that one of the nicknames I just told you was the hot moon, fire, Sagittarius is a fire sign. When you utilize the elements and the modalities and the energies that these signs give off, and you work with those energies in your rituals, in your spiritual work, then you're harnessing an even greater expenditure of the potential those energies have in whatever way you choose to manifest. So I was just saying, you can write some things down that you want to release, since this full moon is about releasing, that you want to let go of or need clarity on. Since we're talking, you know, Mercury retrograde, we got to keep all these things in mind. You can write it down on parchment paper or paper, and you can burn it. You can use that as the representative of the fire element and burn it, offering it to, you know, however you do your spiritual work, and trusting that it'll do what it's intended to do, and it'll take care of whatever you need it to take care of. You definitely want to do it with the understanding that since we're still in Mercury retrograde period, that the clarity might not come, you know, on everything until the next new moon, when Mercury has already stationed direct. But do it trusting and knowing that, you know, the intentions, what you're doing it for, your spiritual work, that doing it at this powerful time is going to tend to result. The moon will be exactly opposite the sun at 11:19 a.m. Central Standard Time on Tuesday, ruled by Mars. So I think that was it for that. Now let's go back and talk about the Sun square Neptune. That is so interesting, you guys, because first of all, that's tomorrow. At the time that I originally did this on this past Wednesday, we weren't so close to it, so I was talking about it from a different perspective. But it's interesting because we just had another, yes, it was the Mercury-Neptune square yesterday on the 29th. And, I mean, and even in a couple of the days leading up to it, you just started seeing that Neptunian energy is, it's about the illusion. It's about, it's a very spiritual sign, planet. It rules Pisces, which is a spiritual sign. But planetary-wise, that energy is, it's just interesting. And my mind goes to the deception, you know, some of these lower manifestations of that planetary energy. But it's not all bad. Neptune rules imagination. And imagination, it also rules dreams and sleep. So, the square that we had with Mercury and Neptune, that was definitely affecting our thoughts and our communications and our travels. This particular Neptune square to the Sun tomorrow, which obviously here we are a day beforehand, you may already be experiencing it and feeling it. You know, that this is going to affect things that are Sun-related as far as your self-expression and your individuality and your confidence. So I'll say this, being that it's so close to the full moon on the 2nd, I would say don't let the transit get you down. Don't be scared, you know, it's Neptune, you know, people are going to lie to me and I'm going to be confused, and allow this transit the space to lift you up spiritually. Think higher than that. Lift you up to spiritually stimulating heights. Harness the imagination in it all that you're having this easy access, that we are having this easy access to, and put it to you for yourself and others. Tune also denotes the healing and creative energy. That potential is triggered by this alignment. You got, let's see. I put something about Gemini as well as Pisces, and I know that I'll just read it. It says the inherent duality in Gemini, the twins, and Pisces, the two fish seemingly chasing the other's tail, may have you feeling a bit topsy-turvy on this day if you're not mindful, which you will be now since you're listening to the show, hopefully studying on your own apart from tuning in and finding out exactly where, meaning what part of your natal chart you can expect these shifting energies in, and making yourself aware of these potentialities so you choose the highest possible outcome you can desire for your life. As easy as it will be to lucid dream during this time, you can just as easily have difficulty sleeping at this time. The alignment is, that's why I mentioned Gemini, because I'm glad I kept reading. The alignment is actually occurring at 9 degrees Gemini, where the Sun is squaring Neptune at 9 degrees Pisces. So if you have any personal planets or points there natally, you want to know, because this is where you can expect to see some of this manifestation, and you can intend to incorporate what you find out about how it's impacting your personal natal chart in a more consciously aware way. And we can help you with that at My Astrology Coach. You can feel free to email me directly at Adrienne, Adrienne, @myastrologycoach.com. And you can definitely get some assistance if you have any difficulty in exploring or navigating some more general aspects of what we're talking about on the show and just throughout my astrology coaching network. I believe I do see a hand raised, so I've never answered the line before. This will be my first time, so bear with me. I hope I'm doing it right. Let's see, 1 second. Hello, can you hear me? You're on the air? Okay, hold on. Okay, caller from the 773-742, you're live on the air with Mama Donna Astrology. Who's calling?
My name is Mel.
Mel, M-E-L?
Yeah.
Cool, peace, Johnny Mel.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, how are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying your show. I think this is the first time I listened to your show. I only had my hand raised. Well, I didn't know I had my hand raised, but since I'm on the air, I'm an Aries. My birthday is April 11th, 1979. And I was seeing if anything from the Mercury retrograde going to affect me or something I should look out for.
You said April the
11th,
1979. Mel, what I've done is taken down your info, and I'm going to contact you outside of the show for that, just because I like to go in depth. So what I would do is I would plug in your natal information. Do you know what time of your birth by way of your birth certificate, more than likely?
I think it was between 2 and 3 p.m.
That narrows it down a lot. I admonish you to get the most accurate information that you possibly can regarding the time of your birth, because it's so vital in determining your ascendant sign, which tells infinitely so much about you and things that manifest in your daily walking life that you can see. It's also good for noting exactly where these planets and points are in your chart, which would be so instrumental in helping you transit-wise, seeing what's going on currently, as well as forecasting future events, and even taking a look into your natal chart to see what cosmological story has already been written for you in the stars. So we'll do that offline. I've got your number here. If that's a good number, I can contact you on that.
Sure is. Yeah.
You wanted to know about how the full moon is going to affect you?
Well, you said the moon's going to Gemini. This is all new to me, so I don't know. You said the moon going to Gemini and then all this. Excuse me?
What piqued your interest specifically kind of about what's going to be affecting you? Because we've talked about, I was getting into this Sun-Neptune square, but we've also talked about the full moon, which is I'm telling you, it's impacting everybody, period.
Yeah,
so,
right. But maybe that was, what's a better way to get through this, because I recently just had an argument, and communication is off a lot. So I'm just trying to watch what I say, avoid things at all costs, and just pretty much be to myself a little bit during this time. So
no,
I was just calling to see if it was there anything else.
Yes, that is so powerful that you say that, because oftentimes, I was talking about the Mercury retrograding in Gemini and the potential for like a lot of childish banter, arguments going back and forth, and even the full moon's impact on that, how it's shining a light on it. It's in your face. You can't ignore it now, And the powerful thing about what you just said is that you're
taking the initiative and the divine opportunity to take full responsibility and look at yourself in the context of everything that's going on, consciously or not, realizing that you impact your environment. So I'm excited to talk to you about it a lot more in depth and in detail once we get off the line. But, yes, that's exactly what you are, a divine example for people who are listening and people who will call in on future shows, what kind of tool astrology is. It's a tool that you take in your own hands and you navigate. You are the navigator. You choose how your life is, and you begin to work with these energies and choose how you will manifest higher expressions of these energies, as opposed to arguments. Look, it's an opportunity. Gemini, you can go back and forth on a building level with Mercury being in Gemini instead of on a destructive level. You see what I'm saying? You, once you're aware of it, you choose. Once you're aware of it and you got somebody that's opposing you or coming at you, then you can be prepared to cushion that with, you know what, we're not going to argue today. What we are going to do is we can take this same energy and we can do a new thing with it. So, Mel, if it's fine with you, I'll be contacting you shortly after the show.
It's cool.
Okay, great.
Give me a call.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much for getting on the line and not being scared to talk to me, because I'm new to all this too. So
okay,
I'm
cool.
Go ahead. Yes, thank you so much. Your input is much appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Keith.
Talk to you soon.
All right, and so at this point, we are, let me see how much time we have left. We have 11 minutes left. How divine is that? At this point, I'm going to just finish out what I was saying about the Venus, Saturn, Sun, Neptune square. I'm back on track, you guys. I love it when y'all call in and have questions. I just have to get back. Okay. Yes, this, we're not going to look at this as a negative thing with Neptune involved. There are no bad planets. There are no bad signs. There are, however, lower manifestations of these energies that, if you're not intending to manifest the higher vibration, by default, you will manifest the lower vibration. So that's why being mindful, being a week ahead, being a day ahead, I'm talking about something that's lining up for tomorrow, exact tomorrow on the 31st, being a few hours or a day ahead of it is powerful and potentially powerful if you know what to do with it. And we know what to do with it a lot of times just by trial and error. Shoot, trying something new is better than keep on staying in the same rut you've been in. You only know what you know so far. And so learning something new by way of educational shows like this, you're able to try out something new, and that alone has the potential to put you on a whole new positive path in a direction that you actually want to go in. Like I said, difficulty with sleep is possible with this Sun Neptune square, but also equally the potential is there to have very lucid dreams. So pay attention to your dreams. Since you know that the potential is there for lucid dreaming, if you want to remember your dreams, be prepared for that. Before you go to bed, you know, say out loud, I want to remember my dream. Have a cup of water sign, you know, it's all related. I'll be breaking it down to you guys over the weeks, but trust me, don't take my word for it. I never want to say that. Look it up. Go look it up for yourself. Pisces is a water sign. Neptune rules Pisces. Dreaming, sleeping, put a cup of water by your bed. That's going to help you. You can look into how and why on your own. I'll put that, you know, on you to see why I'm saying this, but I'm saying things that are correlated with how you can maximize and get the most out of this alignment instead of looking at it as something negative. It can also be a very creative time. Oh, yes, also with the dreaming, when you wake, have a pen and paper by the bed, you know, in arm's reach, before you introduce any new thoughts into your head about the day or anything like that, once you get up out of your dream, make sure your lamp or light is close so you can flick it on and write down whatever you remember, whatever impressions you get. Your dreams, subconscious mind, all that operates on symbols. You know, a lot of times shapes and colors, you hear a lot of people who dream say, you know, I didn't see a face, but they knew who it was. And if there's a car in your dream, a certain color in your dream, a certain number, this is a time where you can harness that and utilize it as information. It means something. This is a tremendously creative and spiritual healing. Like I said, potential can be found during this time by listening to and working with the inner voices from these depths. Neptune is the higher octave of Venus. So definitely it's the love and the spirituality at that higher level. So we have access to that at a time like this. Extending your dream time is favored during this time. If you can get a nap in, you know, and have a lucid dreaming session that way, go for it. Perfect time for that. It's a perfect time for igniting a creative fire and enjoying a transcendent spiritual experience. You know, I have a sister friend of mine who intentionally had a spiritual experience. I don't know if she lined it up with one of these aspects, but this is a good time for it. If I was talking to her, I'd mention that. Whether you're, you know, wielding a paintbrush, holding a camera, or, you know, in the kitchen with a pan and a spatula, this is a great creative energy. Don't miss out. This is the divine time. Just to go with that kind of flow. When you're talking about a square and a challenging aspect, you all just aim for the highest expression, and you don't have to live this reality where, oh, there's a square coming up or it's opposition. You know, that means something bad is going to happen. A challenge is not bad if you gain a higher reward from it by keeping your thoughts and intentions higher manifestation. Let me see. What I'm going to have to do is start setting these shows for an hour. I think I did another 45-minute show, and there's just so much. And now that we're at our second show, second weekend, and, you know, people are raising their hands and things are happening, we need as much time as we can, I guess, to get through these things. Or I'll just have to start being more concise. How about that? And then we can dig more in depth, maybe online via social networking or through the Mama Dada Astrology website, which is still being developed fully. So let's see here. Sorry, guys, I'm still navigating my way through the studio and everything. We've got 4 minutes left. And I definitely have got to touch on Venus entering Leo before we get off this line. The last thing was going to be the Venus-Saturn trine, and I will say this real quick about it before I close out with Venus entering Leo, which is powerful, powerful, powerful. Don't miss it. I got to hurry up. I will say this. If you are on the internet, call in to the show, and that way if we go over by just here a couple minutes with me talking about this powerful Venus Leo ingression, Venus entering Leo, you cannot miss it. Call in 818-369-0368, 818-369-0368 if you're on the internet. Because if you're on the call and we go a little bit over, it's not going to hang you up. If you're online, unfortunately, for the time that I set for the show, the duration of it, it'll go ahead and cut off online. So once again, 818-369-0368. The Venus-Saturn trine on the 6th, which is a week from today on Saturday, is beautiful. Trine is it's one of the most harmonizing and harmonious favorable aspects that exist in astrology. You've got trine, you've got sextile, you've got square, conjunction, opposition. The trine is, it's effortless. Like, all you got to do is be aware, and you can really have an enjoyable or favorable experience in the areas of your chart that it's affecting. With Venus, you've got the planet love, money, and art in a very flowy, harmonious aspect to Saturn, the planet of responsibility and structure and discipline. So when you put those together in a harmonious, flowy, favorable relationship to one another, here we see we can manifest seriousness or responsibility in our love relationship. Some of you, I wouldn't necessarily advise it in a Mercury retrograde, but if your chart, I'm telling you, these aspects hit your individual chart in its own way. So just like I said on the last show with the Mercury retrograde affecting my personal chart in such a favorable way, I couldn't even fix my mouth to really say that it was going to be just so difficult and hard. I gave y'all those potentialities and possibilities, but in my mind and heart, I'm so excited about the theoretically and what it's going to be doing to my chart, but even more so physically in the physical manifestation of how I have been living and experiencing this Mercury. So I just got the reminder that the show is going to cut off online, so I definitely want to run my information by you again. Adrienne, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at myastrologycoach.com for any general questions about astrology, or if you, you know, want to give some astrological context to, you know, some general life questions you have, we can help you with that. So please don't hesitate to contact me there. Mama Dada Astro on Twitter, Mama Dada Astro on Twitter, and Mama Dada Astrology on Facebook. So please check me out, and I'm bringing y'all the information in advance. So that's what we're here for, and to help you understand the part you play, if you want to, in it all. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to wrap up about the Venus-Saturn trine and Venus in Leo, and I will catch you guys next time on the Mama Dada Astrology Hour, your week ahead, the best time of your week ahead of time. Let's see. With Venus and the Saturn trining, like I said, seriousness or responsibility in relationships, you could find yourself, you know, making a particular commitment. Or if I'll say it like this, once you do take a serious Saturnian look at your love relationships, you're either probably going to assume more responsibility in the relationship, or you're going to see that that relationship is actually not serving you or no longer serving you. So that's what we're looking at here with that. Venus is not only love relationships, it's also money and art. So seriousness with money by way of budgeting. When I hear seriousness with money, I think of budgeting. You could find yourself either wanting to or having to take a more serious look at your expenditure of money, as well as the money you receive, and that could bring up a whole other set of potentialities. So taking a more serious look at finances by way of investment, or when you're talking about Venus, you're talking about adding value or seeing the value in something. So you could find yourself during this time, and when I say during this time, it's lining up exact on the 6th, which is next Saturday. But with this and any other aspect, you're going to, as we're getting closer to it, you may see the expression of these energies more strongly. After the 6th, when it occurs, it will be waning, or the energy will be lessening at that point. So be mindful of that as well. So you can find yourself buying something beautiful or valuable, and when you add Saturn on to it, you add endurance, you add longevity. Valuables wise, you can find yourself buying something that you cherish and keep for a very long time. Relationship wise, once again, once you're taking this closer, serious look at it, you can find yourself, whatever decisions you make in relationships here, even, especially with this trine, it's this easy flow of energy. It's with Saturn being involved, it's probably not going to be, something you go back on. It's probably the ramifications of the decision making that you're making now with money and love relationships and art and possessions are going to be, long lasting decisions. All right, y'all, we're wrapping it up here with Venus entering Leo. It's so huge. I'm going over time, but hey, this is one time where I don't mind, and I'm sure you won't either. Venus enters Leo, or ingresses, as you're in your astrological studies, you may see the word ingress or ingression. Venus enters Leo on the 5th, which is next Friday, which is ruled by Venus. Fridays are ruled by Venus anyway. So with this ingression occurring on that day, I mean, all you want to, when they're not coincidences, but when correspondences like that occur, know that the universe is showing you this extra layer of Venusian energy, which is beautiful, which is valuable, which is artful, which is, it adds, wherever Venus is, it adds value, it beautifies it. So Leo, Venus entering Leo, or Venus adding value and beautifying the relation of Leo, or the zodiac sign of Leo, Leo rules the heart. Leo rules, Leo is a confident, showy energy. It's an open energy. It's big. I mean, when you think it's a big heart. You know, have you ever used that expression? You say, he got heart. You know, they got heart. The heart of a lion. That's Leo. It's showy. It's confident. Think of a lion and their mane and their regality. They're regal and, that's Leo. Leo is a fixed sign. It ain't moving, like a mutable sign like Sagittarius. It ain't going nowhere. It's stable. It's fixed. It's also a fire sign, which denotes, that passionate energy. If you know a person with the sun in Leo in your life, they're likely passionate about something without a doubt. You could say that they're passionate about something. Value being added to this sign, which is, denoting sustained passion. And by that, I'm saying whatever this is happening on the 5th, and I did not look up how long it's going to be in Leo, but Venus transits a sign, I believe, almost a month, like 24, 26 days. Sorry, I don't have that exact information, but I know I'm very close. And so for this, around 25-day period, I will say this. If your heart is not into it, I was just talking to you about Leo, which is fiery, sustained passion, So if your heart is not into it, you're likely not going to stick with it or keep it up. If your heart is not, if you don't really love a thing, you're probably not going to buy it. Clothes, be it, how you choose to do your hair or... So go big. That's my part of my wisdom I'm giving you about this time period, that is ripe for Venusian and Leo things to be experienced. Go big, like that big heart of a lion. Go big and go for what your open heart truly values and desires naturally. I say this, treat yourself, don't cheat yourself. especially during these 25 days. Treat yourself. Know your Venus's values and worth. And it's in the house of, you know, confidence and openness, having an open, big heart of a lion. Value is being added to our expressions of ourselves. So take a spa day, update your look. Leo likes to show off, so do something you have been maybe thinking about, like a cut haircut or a particular color on your hair or a new outfit that puts your personal style on display more so than what you normally wear. When you think of a lion strutting, you know, that do that and do it big. Definitely do it big because Venus is, you know, Venus adds value. I kind of, when I think of Venus, I kind of think of Jupiter because they're both pretty much, and so they're going to, you're going to probably like the way that when they transit particular planets and points in your chart, you're probably going to like the way that it feels. But with Jupiter, it's so expansive and limitless and boundless. You know, there's the potential for overdoing things and for going out of bounds because that's the type of energy it is. But I love Venus so much because it is, you know, Venus rules the constellation Taurus and Libra. And, you know, I think of the stability of Taurus and I think of the balancing and harmonizing of Libra, and I don't see that same potentiality of Jupiter to go overboard or to, you know, be excessive. Venus has that potentiality. If you have Venus in the second house, yeah, you could totally, you know, just money slip through your fingers. But I see a lot less of that than I do with Jupiter, especially if you're conscious and aware of it and you're probably, you know, probably somebody like me, I tend to be a little more serious. It probably takes the right transit for me to just let all the way go in a particular area. But with this Venus entering Leo, going big is required. So all the ways that I've explained, you can, you know, utilize this energy. Do your own research on it. I'm always admonishing my listeners to do your own research on it and see where you can take it because, you know, the sky is not even the limit with astrology. There's just no limit with how you can utilize this information. So as you rediscover the inherent value that you bring to the table individually, I'm talking about value with Venus and your and what you're bringing to the table, your talents individually. I'm talking about Leo or fifth house. Leo rules the fifth house. Leo is ruled by the sun. These are things you'll find in your studies. So all these things are come into play. Sun, self-expression, Leo, fifth house. You're putting your unique fingerprint and mark on everything that you express. You will naturally be, as you are, rediscovering your inherent value that you bring to the table individually, and as you are putting your unique fingerprint and mark on everything that you express, you will naturally be withdrawing and turning away from those things that don't serve your highest self. So don't even worry about, you know, what's not for you, and don't focus on what you don't want. Focus on what you do want. That's what we're doing here at Mama Dada Astrology on the My Astrology Coach Radio Network. We're focusing on what we want, and so what we don't want naturally withdraws. What we don't want naturally turns away from us, naturally leaves. So I'll end with this. When we're talking about Venus entering Leo or the fifth house, being the house of children and fun and games and pleasure and gambling and, you know, creation and creating, I think of, me personally, my love for children. You got Venus love and you got Leo children. So I think of my love for children. I haven't birthed any so far, naturally, but I have two godchildren, I have a niece and nephew, and I've got a slew of babies at the Uhuru Academy of Fort Worth, Texas, that I love so much. So already on a regular basis, I have this love for children, but being that this particular 25 days or season or period of time is coming here within next week, that we'll be entering into it, anything related to your love for children, you know, go with that. There's blessings there, you know, because Venus is actually in that area of space, right? Will be in that area of space, blessing it for these activities that are natural to it being there, which is love for children. In addition to that, enjoying games with children. It'll be a good time for that here in the next 25 days after the 5th. Play any value you're placing in children. You're doing good because Venus is values and what you think is valuable. So placing your value in children, just like the planet Venus is adding value to a sign, a constellation, an area of space that represents children, you're doing good. You're in line. You're in the flow of the energy. So that will be a blessing to you. Also, appreciating children is favored. I'd like to take this opportunity before I get off the line to appreciate and honor and acknowledge my godson, Markel, who is graduating a year early from high school next Friday. So I got to shout him out. I'm such a proud godmother. I've been around since before he was born, associated with his mother. And, I mean, just 17 years flew by, and I appreciate him. I see his value and his worth as a genius child, you know, graduating early and just ready and in a position to take on the world. Also, in appreciating children, before I let you guys go, I'd like to mention my Uhuru Academy babies, where I teach part-time. But I love them full-time with all my heart. And they had an awards day ceremony just on yesterday where we at the Uhuru Academy graduated our first two graduates. And so that, I really, my heart is big for them, so I could just go on about them. What I will do is give you a divine opportunity, those of you listening, to value, a high value on children and get a head start on, get ahead of this energy and get in the, start practicing. Because all these things, even though it only lasts 25 days, that's not the only time of the year where these things are important. This is just the time of the year where it's highlighted and favorable and the blessing is added to it, where if you're participating and you're, you know, cooperating with these energies at this time in these specific ways, that it could be a real benefit and blessing to you. So let me tell you, Uhuru Academy, uhuruacademy.weebly.com/donate. Go to that site. Start a monthly subscription. Maybe that's what you'll see when you look in your chart. Maybe that's what will be triggered with this Venus pattern trine, that the thing that's supposed to be enduring or lasting is the value or the appreciation that you have for children. If not for your child, then just as a donation of just love for children. This is an African-centered private educational institution, one of very few, maybe less than a handful in the entire nation, but one of them is right here in Fort Worth, Texas, and at that site, uhuruacademy.weebly.com/donate. You can do a one-time donation if it's just a passing fancy or whimsy or just you wanting to put your match your intention up with your action and reap those divine blessings as a result of that. Or if you want to set it up for a regular monthly subscription of some kind so you can just on an ongoing basis utilize this initiating moment in time to set you up, you know, for a long-term support. So like I said, with the Venus Saturn trine, you know, it's a supportive influence, and I just love the baby. So I'm always going to support. I've been a supporter of the Uhuru Academy for years, not only financially, but also if you place value in something, you'll spend time with that something. You'll invest your time and your energy into that something. So if it's not donating to the Uhuru Academy of Fort Worth, then, you know, there locally, go volunteer your time. Go volunteer some food or money to a child organization in your area. This is the divine time to do it. I won't hold you guys any longer. It's been so fun. I don't even want to go, and I've got more I can talk about and say. But for this week, we'll wrap it up right there, and I will see you guys, if not next Wednesday evening, if there's any way that this Mercury retrograde persists in its fun manifestations, interesting manifestations, and I will catch you guys soon after that. So next Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, we'll catch you right back here on the Mama Dada Astrology Radio on the My Astrology Coach Radio Network. Love you guys. Peace.